Coming up on TMS. Well, that was a weird weekend.
Fresh puppy.
Mr. Tabasco is ugly.
IKEA is gross.
You can't catch Pokemon with a tire iron.
Trek Nerd and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Pepsodent's new improved formula cleans teeth whiter than ever. Tastes brighter, too. New formula Pepsodent contains IMP. There's nothing else as good at getting teeth white.
You'll wonder where the yellow went when you brush your teeth with Pepsodent.
There's still more tongue to be had.
Oh, wait, what? Stop. Hey, whoa, hold on. Something's wrong. Why did that loop? Okay, hold on. Play count one. Okay, hold on. Just hold on, everybody. Okay, I think Scott fixed it. Here you go. Here's the deal.
There's still more tongue to be had, right?
The Morning Stream, a drifter just passing through their town.
A legacy podcast on the air once again. Entertaining thousands. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett for The Morning Stream. Hi, Brian. How are you?
Hello, Scott Johnson. How are you?
I'm fine.
Weekend?
It's the 19th. That means, you know, we're past the St. Patrick's deal, and now we're hurtling toward the April 1st deal, which I hate. So I'm not looking forward to April 1st, but it's fine. Did you do anything for the happy green holiday of munchkins and chicken wings or however it works?
We didn't do anything specific.
Sorry, my whole system's not working right. Sorry. Legacy podcast. Sorry, go ahead. Continue.
Has your soundboard gone sentient or
something? Yeah, I don't know what happened. I've confused some settings up. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
We didn't do anything very specific for, like, anything specifically St. Patrick's Day related, right? Like, you know, we went out Saturday night, but it wasn't for St. Patrick's Day. We went out Friday night, too, and had Mexican food with Crazy Neighbor and his wife and...
Which one did you do the most drinking at, the Friday or the Saturday there?
Easily Friday night. Hmm. But, you know, that was two margaritas. That was really nothing. I didn't drive, obviously, but it wasn't one of those situations where, oh, my God, I sure am glad I didn't drive because I'd be swerving all over the place.
I
don't know if there just wasn't as much tequila in them. There was enough to make it so that I couldn't sleep well, but not enough to make it where I was like, all right, I feel really good.
Is that always tequila? Is that the mix for
a margarita?
For a margarita?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So somebody snuck in rum or put in vodka or something, that'd be kind of a no-no, or would you get away with it?
Well, you'd call it something else. I'm sure there's a name for those other kinds of drink, like that same thing. I don't know. I mean, margaritas are fairly... unique breed. There are other drinks where you can say, all right, a Moscow Mule is vodka and ginger ale, or ginger beer, but if you put tequila in it, all of a sudden it's a Tijuana Mule, or if you put rum in it, it's
a pirate mule,
a dark and stormy or something like that. They're actually you know, there are drinks like that where all you do is just change the hard liquor and it's got a completely different name.
This is where I come from my liquor learning, because I don't know. I have no idea how any of that works.
I can't think of any other drink that you make with the other ingredients that you use for a margarita.
We have some kind of cooking rum here at the house that you use for a certain... Kim was making a certain kind of Indian dish or something that had rum in it. And, of course, you know, that burns all the alcohol off. But it tasted like a hobo smells. You know? Like just kind of ooh, someone in here is putting it away. That kind of smell. That's what that smelled like.
Yeah, that's
it was fine though. It was good. It was tasty. Hey, speaking of which, drinking, that is. Yeah. My daughter, who doesn't drink and is only 20, is in San Francisco for GDC this week. The big joke down there is, oh, how can we take Scott's daughter out to a bar? How can we introduce her to... I'm like, you guys, freaking calm yourselves down over there. First of all, A, she's an adult and she can make her own decisions. B, don't be yanking her around give her
corrupt her
experience while she's at GDC. Let her be the happy little flower that she's always been.
No kidding.
She let her make her own life
don't
decisions.
Let that apple teeny fall too far from the tree.
Right.
Okay?
Right. It was like that night. There was a night here at Nerdtacular once, and he'll forgive me for invoking this, but Randy Jordan. Did I ever tell you about the time Randy Jordan, that guy, you know?
Did I ever tell you about the time?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you about a time at Nerdtacular 2009, I think. Randy would always, he always brings the booze. Okay.
Yes.
That's just the thing he does. He's in California at the time, maybe Canada. I don't remember he'd moved yet. I think he was still in Canada. And they load the car up with booze and they bring it down and then they have it at wherever they're staying. And then when we had the, we used to have the big party at my house, that's where he would bring it all and they would do mixers and all this stuff. And usually Randy would just need to be just a half a sheet to the wind.
Right. Right. Just lubricated.
A little bit. Yeah.
Drunk.
Yes. And then he would walk up to me and go, This is the day you drank the first drink. You're going to have it. This is the one. And he would turn into peer pressure, like pure peer pressure energy. And I would just go, dude, I'm fine. I'm not starting now.
It. Yeah.
Like right now, really. I've gone my whole life. No drinking. I'm going to start now. Like right this second.
Like the problem that so thus far has been, I just haven't had an opportunity. That's been the only thing holding me back, Randy, is the fact that you haven't been there with an opportunity for me to get some drinking.
Yeah, it's like suddenly I'm a North Korea defector waiting for a tunnel to open up in the floor. Finally, someone's done it.
Right,
I can
exactly,
escape this reality. So anyway, that was always a thing and used to crack me up. Well, I'm glad you had fun. Now, before I get to, I want to know how your night went. Like that picture of you and the weird neighbor with the face cut out. Conchita ladies was about the funniest thing I'd seen all weekend, so thanks for that.
It was a lot of fun, yeah. And that was before we had, well, I was gonna say it was before we had any drinks. No, we did a little pre-gaming at his house, but that was really before the margaritas. So
pre-gaming, oh interesting.
Pre-gaming. That's when you like you're going out to a party or something,
yeah,
and you don't want to hit the ramp and just spiral down into a descent into sloshy madness.
Sure.
You have a drink before you go out to just kind of like, all right, here's, I'm setting up the ramp.
Yeah.
And that way I don't need to pull up on the handlebars so high to get up that curb.
Yeah. It's drunk, drunk foreplay. That's what that is. You got to lead.
It is. It's drunk foreplay. Exactly. why don't they call that like a
foreplay drinking. I don't know.
There's a better name in there than pre-gaming.
Probably. But I like that. That's fine. Sounds like it's like almost like a, what do you call that when you go to a game, like a football game, and you're out in the parking lot? What do you call that? That's
Tailgating.
Tailgate. You should call it tailgating over the neighbor's house. I like that.
Oh, J.C. Calhoun points out pre-gaming is because it's cheaper to drink at home than at the bar. You know, that's a really good point. You can have a couple drinks at home before you go out. And then that way you can just kind of nurse something slowly at the bar that you're paying $12 for.
Oh, yeah. Another side topic. Is it, again, my perspective is very limited on this, but why is it that alcoholic drinks are so expensive at bars and at establishments? What's the problem there? Why is that
because
so?
Because they can. It's why does a dog lick himself? Because it can.
Yeah.
Because they know that they can set those drink prices and people will pay them.
Yeah. People do. And now, Dice Tomato saying, wow, but this isn't unheard of. Like when I was at, where was I? Oh, when we were at BlizzCon. And I was down in the Hilton bar and everyone's drinking but me. I just got a Coke, which was also too expensive, by the way. Mm-hmm. It's like an $8 Coke.
A Coke at that Hilton bar is like $6 or $5 or something. Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. $9 water bottles, I would remind people, is what you pay there. So somebody bought some cheap drink, or what would normally be a cheap drink, and the bill was like $15 for that thing. Mm-hmm. And I just remember going, why would you, I mean, are you really getting all you can out of that thing? Is it quite possible? It needs to be the best beer you ever had at $15.
Right. No,
it's ridiculous.
That's why you've got to be very, you got to be clever. Like if you want to save some money drinking, especially in Vegas, you got to be clever. You got to like, all right, you don't go up to the bar for a drink. You go to a slot machine, you put $20 in. You slow play, or better yet, if you want something immediately, you go up to a bar that's got video poker machines, you put in a $20 bill and you start slow playing, but you make sure that you're hitting those buttons whenever the bartender is looking.
Right. Yeah. Or just, yeah, like, that's a good
idea.
What
can I get you? They pour you a drink. As soon as you get your drink, you leave them a dollar tip. You pull your money out of the machine. Maybe you've paid $6 playing some video poker. Maybe you've even made money while you were ordering your drink. Who knows?
So only millionaires and billionaires can walk into a bar now and say, drinks are on me because
oh god,
you
yeah,
couldn't
yeah.
you couldn't afford it otherwise. It's stupid.
Right. And heaven forbid, you know, again, something you won't experience ever probably, but bottle service. So let's say you go to one of these clubs in Vegas. The hottest nightclub in Las Vegas is called. Anyway, let's say you want to go to a club. If you want to, I don't know, sit down,
yeah.
especially if you want to sit down in kind of a comfier section and have a table and stuff, by golly, you need to pay for bottle service. And that is like, you're basically going to pay for one of those bottles that's normally $28, $29 for a handle in a liquor store. You're going to pay $200 to $300.
Really?
Now they will bring you. Yes, absolutely. But that pays for you to sit down. Like you can't sit down in this area unless you buy a bottle of alcohol. They'll throw in ice and they'll throw in glasses and all the mixers you want. Like
oh, how kind! You know, how kind! How kind did we get glasses, ice? Juice. They better bring me like six lap dances and a new car. How about that?
Well, hey, I'll tell you what. I'll take you to a place in Vegas where you can get all that.
I don't want any of that. What the crap? All right, so yeah, people in the movies always say leave the bottle. Is that the scenario? Is that it's right. bottle service?
Interesting. Well, that's a whole different. That's usually in a CD bar at the guy down on his luck, leaving the bottle. And I'll bet you they don't charge him $200. They probably have some sort of calculated amount as far as how many shots they'd get out of that bottle and multiply that times what they think is left or whatever.
Seriously, paid ice or free ice in Vegas. The ice in Vegas is all water that went, it got filtered through a bunch of G-strings anyway. It's like the worst water ever. For free ice. Boy, that annoys me. Also, someone in the chat, a Graham Tracker says, bottle service is a giant crock of shit. I agree with him. I agree.
It is. It totally is. And again, it's because they can. They know that people will pay that. They know that there are people who are in Vegas like thinking, oh my gosh, night on the town with my boys. We're going to totally do it upright. Mm. And then they'll go to some club and they'll pay that. And they'll probably, again, I've never done it. I've actually never done bottle service. But I imagine that when a group of ladies there for a bridal shower, a bunch of bridesmaids are there, prior to the wedding and they see four guys sitting in a very comfortable couchy area with a big bottle of Grey Goose sitting there and a bunch of mixers. Hey guys, hey, what are you doing tonight? What are you celebrating?
It's all making sense now.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything you're saying is making not only sense, but it's also bringing together a ton of movies I've seen and didn't understand why the scene was the way it was.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah,
you do.
All right, well, look, three or four learning moments.
We'll schedule a lot of these classes over the next month. to prepare everybody for Viva TMS Vegas, which is coming up quick.
Also, if you ever see me at one of those places where any sort of bottle service is happening, I'm the guy in the middle with like a little Coke and a straw. That's usually me.
Yeah,
kind of like
little tiny red straws that
I love
you think would make the Coke go slower, but it really doesn't.
It doesn't.
Like you tend to just suck the Coke down.
Yeah, you think you've got more suction going because you got a little teeny hole to go through. And so you end up going to town on that thing, just bogarting it. But if you do like a McDonald's straw, it's overwhelming. You feel like you've opened it's like that thing that the Harrison Ford fell out of right after what's-his-name said, I don't care. It's like a giant, boosh, it's too much. And so you slow down. So the opposite happens. It's so, that is funny how that works.
Totally true. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's a little psychosomatic thing. Well, let's give them a little tiny straw. They'll think they're nursing their drink, and really, they're just working so hard to get any drink in their mouth.
Yeah, and before you know it, you spend another $75 on drinks.
Exactly.
Anyway, it's been a rough week for me because here's how it kind of went. Kim flew with Taylor out last Friday morning early. They went to... I didn't ask her if she went to that restaurant. I forgot to ask her.
You gotta ask her.
Yeah, I'll find out. She's running around today.
If she didn't say, oh my God, we went to the best restaurant, then I'm worried that she didn't go.
She may not. I mean, the truth was they were only going to go from Friday till 3 a.m. Sunday. They had a flight.
Really quick.
So it was really quick, but they were hoping Saturday sometime they'd be able to sneak it in, and I just never followed up. But part of the reason she may not have told me is because there has been zero time for us to talk. Seriously how it happened. She leaves. She's crazy busy. I'm here with Nick, who has to have prom on Saturday. Right. He had another thing Sunday. I had all the stuff I had to prep for. Plus, I have all my regular crap. As soon as she gets home on Sunday, which she had layovers and stuff, ended up in Denver, in fact. Came home, didn't get home until about 12.
Okay.
So 3 a.m. to 12 in the afternoon. That's a pretty rough day.
That is a rough day. Yeah.
Then it was just run around. Oh, she had some meeting where she's in charge of food at an upcoming summer camp. So she had to go and like not bring food to it and have this big planning meeting about budget and who's paying for what and all that for this big camp. So she goes and does all that stuff. Meanwhile, I got a weekend thing with Jury I have to do. So I'm doing that. And we have to get Carter to the airport because she's going to GDC. All in the same, like, three-hour chunk of time has all had to happen.
Insane. It's insanity.
It's complete insanity. By the way, Nick, prom went great. Had a great time.
Oh, yeah, good.
So everything worked fine, except I had no... I'm the worst dad. It's like, oh, did I need a corsage for you to give to somebody? So, I don't know. Okay, well, I guess we don't have one. But it's but it's Morgan, and she's awesome, and she doesn't care. So it doesn't matter. Yeah,
exactly. It sounds like...
They're more like friends. They're friends anyway, yeah, right. So it's no big deal. So anyway, that all happened, blah, blah, blah. Then... Last night, when she got done with her meeting, she came home, packed a few things, and immediately got in the car and left again to go 30 minutes south to stay at my sister-in-law's for 4 or 5 days to watch their 4 or 5 kids while they are spending 4 or 5 days in the Caymans.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it's his boss has some place out there, so part of it's a work trip for him to go maintain the place, and then they were like, well, you can stay there while you're there, and so that's why they're doing it. So that's all going on. So Kim and I have had maybe 5 minutes to talk since she's been home and a little bit on the phone here and there. So I don't know if she went to that restaurant because all this stuff's going on. So for the next few days, it's just me and Nick. Kim won't be here. If something goes wrong, it's just killing me.
Hopefully while she's watching the kids, she'll have a little more time to talk. I mean, 4 or 5 kids, I don't know. But she is
coming over here today because she's only got three of the four. I guess the fifth is with the parents because he's a little baby. So okay. He went to the Caymans with them. Then there's James, and then there's the other three girls. Or no, a boy and two girls. They're at school.
Go to Cayman Islands? No, baby. No way.
That's what I would say. But yeah. Anyway, the three that are in school are all in school. James the only one that isn't. So right now, she just has one. Okay. But then later this afternoon, she's got carpool, and then two of them have soccer, and one of them has football. It's just like, it's insane. They owe her so big, I can't even explain how big they owe her.
They really should take you guys to the Caymans for her doing this.
Yeah. So what I'm hoping is that this weekend things will chill and we can relax a little bit. But how did it go with the comedy club? I love those. Those are always fun.
Yeah, we went to Comedy Works on Saturday night. So this was St. Patrick's Day night. But again, you know, it's not like the Irish are associated with comedy. Yeah. So it's not really like a St. Patrick's Day thing to do. But went to the comedy club and... 4 comedians and a host, and kind of they did the ramp up thing where it's like, yeah, the first comedian's kind of good, and you can tell, you know, they're just kind of starting out, beginner. The third guy was fantastic. He was hilarious. And then the fourth guy apparently was a writer on Saturday Night Live for a while, never was one of the featured or the not ready for primetime players, never made it. He may have made it on screen, but he never, I certainly didn't recognize him.
So unlike Tina Fey, unlike some of these where they start as writers and then they work their way up to performers, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. So he did. He was in the writer's room. He was bizarre. He was funny, but man, he went in some dark places talking about, wouldn't it be funny to have a corpse on a water slide, just watching me go through all of the like loops and turns and things like that.
Oh my gosh, he sounds like me, but I just never talk about these things.
Right, exactly.
Yes. I mean, as much as I think that's kind of morbid and I wouldn't want to do it against anyone's wishes, I don't have, when I die, you can send me down. It's fine. I'd like to know what that looks like. Go for it.
It was kind of funny, but boy, it was, there was some weird, awkward moments in that thing, especially moments where I think he was thinking there was going to be a laugh there and he was just kind of like looking at the,
floors,
and a lot of looking at the floor. Anyway, so when they have a, you know, it's a 2-item minimum at comedy club, so you're gonna get a Coke and a creme brulee or a brownie or something like that, but you've got to buy 2 things. They want you to buy the drinks, and drinks there were like $6, so I did buy
it's not too bad.
A cider, had a hard cider, and Tina and I shared a creme brulee.
Oh,
she had a couple Cokes.
That's adorable.
But anyway, so we get out of the, they did this thing. I'd never seen this before, but they give you what's called a yonder pouch.
wait a minute, a what?
Yeah, a yonder pouch.
I've never heard of this, okay.
So you walk into the club and they say, okay, put your phone, turn your phone on to vibrate or silent or whatever. And then they hand you a, or actually you hand them your phone. They put it in this pouch that's about, you know, roughly
the
size
of a brand, Y-O-N-D-R. Okay.
Y-O-N-D-R. You put the phone in the pouch, or they put the phone in the pouch. They snap it shut and then hand it back to you. So your phone is still in your possession. It's shut down, or it's on mute or vibrate or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in this pouch that you cannot take it out of until the end of the show or until...
It's got like one of these store lock type things.
Right, exactly. Where you basically need to rub it on a little magnetic nipple, and then the thing will pop open.
I mean, you could take a knife to this, I suppose, right? And...
You certainly could, yeah. Easily. It's funny because it's like we're looking at this thing going, how do you get a bunch of these for like Thanksgiving when the family comes? Mm-hmm. You just like make them put their phones in a yonder pouch so at least the teenagers are paying attention and are Snapchatting the whole time.
How do these work? I mean, did they have a ton of them for the whole audience?
They had them for the whole audience. Yeah, they had, you know, I mean, they must have had 300-400 of them, because if that audience is full.
I have never heard of this. This is crazy.
Yeah, it was kind of cool.
Look, they have quotes from Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, and Michael Che. Listen to what Chris Rock says. It's a better show, man! I don't know what that is. That's probably not him.
I can totally imagine that, because if you're up on stage and you're looking at the crowd and you've got like 8 people in the crowd whose faces are lit up because they're like reading Facebook posts, mm-hmm. or something like that. I mean, you know, there's always the chance that they're going to be recording you with their phones too, but I don't think that's as bad a thing in this day and age as it's helpful to a comic to...
I completely agree.
To kind of get some exposure.
Dave Chappelle, the way Dave Chappelle says, he almost sounds like some kind of intellectual. He says, people actually watch the show. They're in the moment, and they're vastly more fun to speak to, Dave Chappelle.
It totally.
Doesn't quite
totally
sound like is. Dave Chappelle, but that's great. Very cool.
You know,
I have no idea.
I still have my Apple Watch on, so yeah. I was thinking, I'm going to send Tina a text saying, my phone's in the pouch, but I'm sending you a text. But I never got around to it because we were chatting. That's the other thing. You know, prior to the show, that whole time period before the show starts, you're engaging the other people at your table and talking to them. And you're not like, oh, let me show you this feta I took of my
burrito
this morning.
We should take a selfie.
So, but it does create one other problem, which is a bottleneck when the show ends. For everybody to get their phones out of their pouches, right? Because you've basically got 2 exits. They've got people there, I think 2 people and 2 magnetic nipples at each exit. So 4 quote-unquote lines that you go out to escape the place. But apparently the line that we were in had a little bit of a kerfuffle going on. And a couple guys were about to just come to blows and beat the crap out of each other coming out of a comedy club. It's like, you know, out of a sports event and everybody's testosterone is all, you bumped me and you made me spill my beer, blah, blah, blah. But coming out of a comedy club, you don't expect people to be like, oh, I am so amped up. I just want to hit somebody right now.
Yeah, no kidding. What a weird place for that to happen.
After watching that comedy, I just feel like taking a guy out.
Yeah, that's nuts. Now, you didn't get all wrapped up in that or like getting in the fight or anything.
No, but I was next to the guy who was clearly the smaller guy, but the mouthier of the two. Mm. There's the one guy who says, don't worry, dude, I'll be waiting for you outside. You just come outside, we'll finish this. And this guy, oh, yeah, okay, you're a big man, tough guy. But he's a little guy, and he's like, he does not look like he's going to have much of a chance with this big guy.
Oh, my gosh. Was there ever
and
a fight,
and
you
the little
know?
Guy's right next to me. And they fought a little bit in the lobby. And then while we were waiting, Tina went to the bathroom. And then the two guys, you know, the first guy was waiting outside, just as he promised.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other guy went out there. And we saw, couldn't see any action through the glass doors, but... We did see like one of the guys working the lobby, like telling the person at the front desk, the ticket person, call the police, they're fighting out there,
yeah.
And then running out there.
Yeah.
Now, here's my first thought. It's like, it isn't, oh my God, I hope nobody gets hurt. Or right. I hope they can solve this without any damage. Here's my first thought. damn it, I got the sweetest parking spot directly in front of the comedy club. They better not hurl each other into my car.
This is so me. I'm going to
have somebody's head-shaped dent in my side door when I come out there. But that was like, we were like grinning from ear to ear. We pulled into this parking space and like, oh my God, we're at the front door of the comedy club. We're looking around for signs that say you can't park here. Nothing like that.
You're having a serious George Costanza moment for sure.
A serious parking karma moment,
yep,
for sure.
Yep.
And but then this happens. I'm thinking, oh crap, these guys are going to like use my hood as like a place to thump somebody's head. That's all I can visualize.
And they didn't, I assume. Everything
they
went didn't. Fine.
No, they took it down the way. Just as we pulled, or just as we stepped out, they had gone around the corner, and the I don't know if they were fighting around the corner, but the police had shown up and gone into the Comedy Works lobby. Mm, so
yeah, well, good. Shut that down, man. They, you know, don't need to be letting those guys have their way. F that.
Exactly. But what makes people want to fight after a comedy night? Like
alcohol, probably.
It just feels. Yeah, exactly. It's the 2-drink minimum.
Yeah, that's what it is. Hey, yeah, comedy club, learn from this and quit charging so much.
Exactly.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, we both had a good time. That means we're back at it. We got stuff to do this week, and in fact, we even have this, but it's a little bit different today. All right. Now, normally we'd have Stump Dunaway, which means Brian Dunaway, but we don't have that today because Brian Dunaway's out of town. He's on a trip. That's why we don't have Film Sack this week. There's a few other things getting bumped. No Boop Show today as a result.
That's right.
Busy, busy guy, that Brian Dunaway. By the way, it's also his birthday.
It is his birthday. Yeah, I was just about to say that. So yeah. Happy birthday, Brian Dunaway.
Happy birthday. You don't look 50 to me. Anyway, so as a result,
to me.
Yeah, he totally does. He looks like a different human being than he used to look like. He looks totally nothing does. Like he used to. He looks so young, and it pisses me off. But we're going to have a little game anyway. It will still involve you at home, and you're still going to call that number you just saw pop up on the screen, 801-285-9395. Brian, will you explain how this is going to work before, or should I accept someone first? What do you prefer? How do you want this?
Let's accept someone first.
All right, let's see if we can get
let's get them in here.
Let's get first. Somebody in here. Hi, you're our very first caller. Who's this?
This is Dwayne out near St. Louis.
Dwayne near St. Louis. That's what I like. Can you see the arches from where you are, the big arch?
Actually, it's about a 10-minute drive to get to the arch.
Well, that's not bad at all. That's pretty good. You can do a tour of your own town anytime you want, which no one ever does because they live there. But that makes sense, and isn't that great? welcome to what we're calling, I don't know, Stump Me, I guess?
Stump a listener. Stump Scott, sure.
Stump a listener and Scott at the same time. So
whole lot of stumping going on is what we're going to call
explain these rules so we know what we're dealing with here. Go for it.
All right, so I'm going to give you guys both a topic. And you guys are going to go back and forth with answers for that topic. You're going to basically come up with an answer when it's your turn.
Okay.
If you give a wrong answer or a repeated answer or you take too long to come up with an answer, then the win automatically goes to the other player. So if that makes sense,
okay.
I'm going to give you a topic and then we'll start with Dwayne. He'll get to give the first answer as our guest.
Yeah.
And then we'll go to you, Scott, and we'll just go back and forth and see. Who gives the first wrong, bad, or repeated answer?
Okay, I'm excited about this, first of all. Second of all, I just want to say that if I win, that just means we hold the prizes to the next winner.
Correct.
It doesn't mean exactly. I win. I'm not getting anything.
No, you do not get the prize.
Yeah.
But if Dwayne wins, here's what he's going to get.
All right.
This is awesome. Again, you probably saw us give away part one a couple weeks ago. The Two Towers Special Edition Extended DVD Edition. Here it is, complete. Courtesy of Dodd Vickers. Again, man, this is a really cool, really cool prize.
That's my reaction.
Six discs
that's incredible.
In there or something. Yeah. I don't know how many discs are in here.
So is that just the two? Is it the second film and all of its goodies?
It is. It's okay. The Two Towers and all of its associated goodies.
All right. There's not only that though. I'm going to throw in here yet another print pack. Now, some have said, "Well, Scott, is it the same print pack I've been sending for a while?" No, this is all new stuff. All new little prints and signed and all that will go to you as well. If you but win, Dwayne. If you but win.
That's right. Now, here's your topic. And again, Dwayne, we're going to begin with you. In the DC Universe, they've invented or created or discovered, I should say, 21 different varieties of kryptonite.
Ooh.
Now, keep in mind, it's not all colors. So don't let that be the only path you go down, but you guys are going to take turns identifying the different kinds of kryptonite that have been discovered, and Dwayne, I'm gonna let you go first.
Is it how many? Did you say a number there was or no?
There are 21 different kinds of kryptonite.
21. All right, Dwayne, you go ahead and start.
This might be pretty bad because I have no clue. I really don't like anything about Superman.
Yeah.
Oh.
I hate Superman.
You might like a few of these kinds of kryptonite then.
Yeah, you never know. Do you have any guess as to the name?
Oh. The pool is probably yelling out a whole.
I would start with a no color idea. Of a common.
Let's try red.
Red kryptonite is exactly there is a red kryptonite. Originally it weakens Superman, but then it was later changed so that it just caused odd behavior or bizarre transformations.
Okay. Now what I do? Do I answer now?
Now you get to choose one. Yes.
Green kryptonite.
Green kryptonite, yes, its original flavor weakens Superman and other Kryptonians and can kill them if they have prolonged exposure.
All right.
All right, back to you, Dwayne.
Back to you, Dwayne.
Let me think. Let's keep with colors then. And I'll guess blue.
Blue kryptonite, yes. Blue. This is blue kryptonite affects Bizarro the same way that green kryptonite affects Superman. So it's the Bizarro bad kryptonite.
Oh, me no like it. Me Bizarro. Yes. Okay. I don't know why,
because blue is not like the opposite of green.
I know it's not. It's not at all. That doesn't make any sense. All right. I'm going to say yellow.
Yellow kryptonite.
Yeah.
There is no yellow kryptonite.
Damn it! Maybe that's just what the kryptonite looks like when the super dog pees on it. So wait, are you saying I just lost? Is that what happened then?
You just lost. There's no yellow kryptonite.
All right, well then he gets this.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, you did it.
You're a winner.
Wow. I can't believe there's not yellow. Why wouldn't there be yellow?
I can't believe there isn't either. I would have thought there was yellow. Here's all the other ones you could have chosen. Anti-kryptonite, X-kryptonite, white kryptonite, red-green kryptonite, gold kryptonite, red-green, blue-gold kryptonite, which is like a... Superman combines the materials to power an intelligence expanding device. An explosion occurs and the hero is split into two separate beings, Superman Blue and Superman Red.
Really?
Possess enhanced intelligence, yes. Silver kryptonite, jewel kryptonite, which will apparently save your soul.
Yeah.
Bizarro red kryptonite.
Will jewel kryptonite also give me weird teeth and I should probably get them looked at?
We'll sleep in your car, yeah, exactly.
All right.
That was my "who will save your soul" joke, and you just
no. I know, I know. I just wanted to drag it out. I wanted to make it longer, and I'm glad you did because you took it to the car. Even that was fantastic.
Anyway. Red gold kryptonite, magno kryptonite, red green gold kryptonite, slow kryptonite, kryptonite X, which is different from X kryptonite, pink kryptonite, which does make you gay.
Really?
Yes. Or it switches a Kryptonian's gender.
Wait a minute.
Like later on.
Really? Yeah. They originally, if I had red kryptonite and I'm Superman or whatever, pink kryptonite, it makes me gay?
In 2003, they debuted this in Supergirl number 79. Pink kryptonite turns Kryptonians gay.
That is so off the reservation and so janky. Even if you don't look at it as like a kind of a lame thing to do, or like it's like anti-gay or something, even if you take that out of the equation, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It really is the dumbest thing. And then finally, black kryptonite, orange kryptonite, and periwinkle kryptonite.
Shut up, dude. I hate Superman now, too. Now I really hate Superman. All right, well, you win is the important thing, and that means we're going to send you this stuff. All you got to do is send Brian a coverville@gmail.com email, and he'll get your address, and he'll send you the stuff. He'll forward it to me.
And I'll forward it on to Scott so that he can send you his stuff, too.
Yep, I had to kill that because it sounds like kids were killing everybody.
That's right. And yellow kryptonite, by the way, people in the chat room were uncovering the story behind yellow kryptonite. There was a fake yellow kryptonite, fake kryptonite, that Lex Luthor masterminded as part of a hoax to get Superman to think that it was really yellow kryptonite, but it was really just a yellow sphere.
Oh, he's pretty dastardly. He might call him a super fool after he did
it. I've got yellow kryptonite, Superman. What do you think this is going to do to you? It's going to make you impotent.
Your winner will be flaccid, super fool.
That's right.
Exactly. Oh, I love him. All right, well done, and congratulations, Dwayne. Your stuff's on its way. It's time for the news.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive, sensational summary of world and local events.
It's the news brought to you by...
There will be dungeons at therewillbedungeons.com. Scott, where are you guys currently in your campaign?
Well, it's D&D 5th edition rules, and we're kicking A and taking names. Actually, two of our members, Varel and Hope, those are the characters, Kristen and Kyle, are visiting their grandmother in Florida, and as a result, are not able to be with us.
The characters or the players?
The
are
players.
Visiting their grandmother. Oh, man.
The players.
I think it'd be great if the characters... These characters are going to go to Florida and visit their grandmother. You guys can just sit there for the next two
and we don't actually hours. Know where they are in the game. So as far as I know, they are visiting their fictitious elven grandmother. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing because we haven't written. So, as far as I know, Bo may know. He may have written this, but I don't know where they are. Because what happened is and John got sucked into a quicksand kind of like weird entry into an underground cavernous sort of dungeony thing. And we got pulled under, and Hope and Varel did not, so we don't know where they are. In the story, I mean.
Oh, my God. This sounds awesome.
It is awesome. So John and I, Stanley and Nash, are in this pit, and we run into two gnomes who are down there, who are basically, and I mean this without any irony or hesitation, and and we also are totally for this, they basically remind us exactly of Quark and... Is it Nom? What was his brother's name?
Nog,
or was that the kid? Grom, Nom, Vom?
Oh, Rom.
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 It's those two, basically. It's Carter, my daughter, and Ben Bumhofer are the two players and their characters.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Oh. And we run into them in this cavernous sort of catacomb thing that turns into quite a piece of business. So if you want to catch up with where we're at, it's a total blast. It was our eighth session that we've had so far. So 8 weeks of this thing so far. We have one more guest appearance by them next week, and then Varel and Hope return. Cool. But you can check that over at therewillbedungeons.com, as Brian said, and there is a YouTube version that's there. You can see, you can hear just audio if you want. You can find out when it happens live, so you can be there for the live stream. It's really, really good time. We're having a blast. People really seem to like it, and you might too. So check it out, therewillbedungeons.com.
Nice.
All right. There's this story about a turtle, and I guess it was big news, but we missed it.
Yeah, I hadn't heard about this until, I take that back. I do remember hearing something about this, but not as much until the aftermath here.
Yeah, I had no idea. This is the first I'd heard of it. A turtle who was fed a puppy in Idaho in a classroom got euthanized. It's not the turtle's fault.
Yeah, once they get a taste for puppy, that's all they're going to
want
to eat.
That's all they want is more puppy? It's terrible. The snapping turtle who was fed puppy in front of a puppy in front of students in an Idaho junior high school has been euthanized, according to a representative of the Idaho State Department of Agriculture. The snapping turtle was euthanized humanely, they say. I don't know why you needed to at all. Let him eat the puppy and then put him out in the wild or something. Like, don't kill. It's not the turtle's fault.
I don't know why. Yeah, I honestly don't know why they euthanized the turtle.
Get that. That's really weird to me.
They euthanized the teacher that fed the fed the puppy to the turtle, because it's not like the turtle had a whole bunch of choice to say, nah, I don't want to eat the puppy. He's cute. No,
it's not like the turtle went, oh, this is a great moral conundrum for me. I don't know if I really should do this. Exactly. He's just a turtle and he's hungry.
Right.
Like, come on.
Let him eat pizza. That's what they eat, right?
The normal meal for a turtle is pizza. Yeah.
They say cowabunga and they eat pizza.
Yeah.
That's all I know about snapping
and
turtles.
And they're ninjas and that's it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly.
Snapping turtle was euthanized humanely, says these people. I guess this was all based on a recommendation from the Department of Agriculture at the Idaho Department of Agriculture's request. They requested it.
Not under, the puppy feeding.
Right. The killing of the turtle. Yeah. Yeah. The turtle had been in the possession of Preston High School. Wait, Preston Junior High. Preston... Just hit me. Preston, Idaho is where not Hensons, what do they call it? What's the name of the couple that made Hess? Jared and Jeruka Hess.
Yeah, the ones who worked with Napoleon, like did Napoleon Dynamite, worked with...
yes, and they also did the Jack Black thing.
Jermaine Clement, there was a movie with...
Jermaine, right, that too. That's the only one I haven't seen, by the way, is that Jermaine Clement one. I'm sure it's fine.
Anyway, it is funny, but I can't remember the name of it. Something Cowboy, maybe?
He's like Wes Anderson's little brother, basically. It's kind of that sort of style. Anyway, the Hesses, who went to BYU Film School, so they're kind of Utah people, they grew up, though, in Preston. And in Preston, that's where Napoleon Dynamite is supposedly set. And I think they filmed it in Preston, Idaho.
Oh, really?
So that's too funny that this is, this feels like now a scene from a cut portion of Napoleon Dynamite. Anyway, the Snappy Turtle had been in the possession of the high school, or junior high school, rather, the teacher, specifically Robert Crossland, who had it, who is accused of feeding a puppy to the turtle in the presence of students on March 7th. The event occurred well after students had been dismissed and was not part of any school direct program. We emphasize that at no time was the safety of the students or staff compromised. I need to understand why that puppy got eaten. I don't get it.
Well, yeah, I don't understand that either. But apparently they killed the turtle because it's considered to be an invasive species.
Oh.
So I don't think they could have just released it into the wild.
Well, wait. But I mean,
I don't know. I know the next question you're going to ask. Like, should we shoot all snapping turtles then?
Well, I mean, if it's not supposed to be, let's say, in Preston, Idaho, take it where it should be. Came from somewhere.
Right, right.
You know who the invasive species is here?
United plane.
Yeah.
Put it on the United plane and just see where it ends up.
Japan, overhead bin dead. You never know.
Exactly. Right.
But like, I'm annoyed by this. I don't think that turtle should have been killed. I don't get it.
No. They should have fed that turtle something even larger.
The invasive species here is humans. That's who invaded everybody.
Right. Well, and science teachers.
Mostly science teachers, yeah.
It's the science teachers, invasive species.
What an a-hole. Mr. Tabasco. Did you know there was a beauty contest called Mr. Tabasco?
I had no idea.
It's a pretty saucy event.
And I guess it has nothing to do with the sauce, because the sauce is Louisiana. That's not a Mexican thing, that's a Louisiana thing.
That
right?
is correct. It's a Cajun construction.
Right.
In fact, I toured that place once, and you know how I was always talking about how there's a lot of flies at a ketchup place?
Yeah, even more in Tabasco.
Yeah, dude. So many flies. It's crazy. But and your eyes burn the whole time. That was one thing I noticed about that. And they told us it would. You said your eyes are probably gonna burn here. Yep, they totally burned.
By the way, it's a Mexican beauty competition called Mr. Tabasco.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't it called Señor Tabasco? Because they don't do Mr. down in Mexico.
That's a good point. What is that? There's a real crossing of the feet of the streams here, isn't there? Like Mr. Tabasco. Why is Tabasco in Mexico? Why is it called Mr.?
Well, like is it a county or a like there's Jalisco and Chihuahua and like all these different townships,
mm-hmm.
counties, and I think Tabasco might be one of them, or is it just a city called the city of Tabasco?
Well, let's see. I may be assigning this to the Tabasco brand, and it shouldn't be. Yeah, you make a good point, but they don't clarify it here because they're not saying anything else about the brand. And also, I know that brand is like super litigious because I was talking to Garrett. He has a show called Awesome Sauce or something, mm-hmm. or something like that he started, and he kind of logoed it a little bit after the Tabasco bottle logo just for funsies, and he got a cease and desist takedown notice from the Tabasco Corporation. Too hot for them, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, there is Tabasco is the free and sovereign state of Tabasco is one of the 31 states comprise the federal entities of Mexico. So it is a state of Mexico.
So Tabasco sauce was probably named after the place.
I would think so. Yeah. Let me see where, if it's located. It's on the,
because Louisiana is on the Gulf.
It's actually really close to the southernmost part of Mexico. I mean, below that is Chiapas.
Yeah, so if you go to, if I remember right, when I went to, where did we go? Shit, wherever it was.
You went to Playa del Carmen? No, where did you go?
I didn't go to Cabo. No, and it wasn't Cozumel. It was the other one.
It wasn't part of Vallarta.
No.
It wasn't Mazatlan.
No. It's the one everyone goes to.
It's where you had your first alcoholic drink.
Yeah. Thanks, guy who didn't listen to me. I can't remember the name. What's wrong with me? Anyway.
Cancun.
Jeez. Jeez, okay. Louise.
So that's in the Yucatan Peninsula.
Oh, all right. So I've got, whatever. It's somewhere out there where I could sort of see it as we flew in.
Yeah.
But Mr. Tabasco has got nothing to do with the sauce, it turns out, is what we're getting at. They scrapped the entire beauty contest for 2017's pageant because, and it says Mr. 2017, but I don't know why it's not 2018 because this isn't an old article. But anyway, whatever. The contestants were deemed too ugly
We just can't find a single one of you that can make it to the next round.
Yep. The agency caused controversy with its original advertisements for specifying contestants must be a minimum height of 5'10", single, childless, and have an athletic body and not be a stripper. Sure. Why is that controversial? That seems about right for one of these things. But only six entrants threw their hats into the ring to be Mr. Model Tabasco in the southeast Mexican state of the same name. Oh, there it is. I finally saw it. Although the agency conducted some publicity shoots with the major hopefuls, the six hopefuls, showing them in swimsuits, casual clothes, and formal attire, the contest was soon canceled with the six deemed too ugly for the competition to continue. Let's see.
That's
if we get
a little harsh. I mean, I'm looking at photos of the six guys right now, and I mean, you know, they're handsome young men.
Yeah, he looks all
a
right.
A couple of them, at least, anyway.
Yeah, they look okay. In the chat room as well. They look fine. Yeah, I'm showing the video now. Especially this dude in the suit here toward the end here. He looks all right.
Yeah, suit dude looks good with the right.
Yeah, viva la whatever. they have
some high standards in Tabasco.
Yeah, no kidding. These guys are hardcore. All right, well, whatever. Good luck to him. Never, you know what? Bad press is good press here because I'd never heard of your damn contest until now. So, well done. Here's something I could not be more excited about.
Really? Okay, good.
Well, it's opposite day, so we'll see how this goes.
Sure. Bizarro. Yeah. Can't wait.
me no eat Swedish meatball anymore. IKEA tests.
All of a sudden, Bizarro sound Russian. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know why he does.
Well, Hearthstone card is eerily accurate.
Yeah. Furniture retailer IKEA. They have a new test kitchen, and the new menu for that test kitchen has Swedish meatballs made out of mealworms.
No.
This is some Anthony Bourdain shit right here.
It totally is, yeah.
It says here, it's furniture retailer IKEA is known for its affordable build-it-yourself decor, but is also known for their cheap and tasty Swedish meatballs. Customers who enjoy the signature snack while shopping for furniture may be surprised to learn that IKEA's Future Living Lab is what they call it.
IKEA is now infringing on Epcot territory.
It's a group in Copenhagen called Space 10. They research ideas for IKEA. Have released five new dishes made from sustainable ingredients such as spirulina. I don't know what that is.
I don't either.
Beetroot, hypnotic sprouts. Oh, sorry. Hydroponic.
Watch the sun today. Be careful.
You think
you're getting sleepy.
Yeah, that's a bad typo for me. And it's only in my head, not a real typo. The insect items include neat balls, spelled with an N. Okay, so that's on purpose.
Yeah. Neat balls.
Yeah, get it. A reimagining of the famous Swedish version, substituting mealworms for meat, and bug burgers is the other one. Grubs are good for grub. They have 20 times higher food conversion efficiency, making it a viable addition to their current menu. I've heard plenty of people say it's a great meat substitute, protein substitute, blah, blah, blah. Here's my question. Somebody in front of you put a plate with a burger on it that said, this is a bug burger made of bugs. Would you gladly eat it?
I would try it.
I think I would too, and then I couldn't think about it anymore though after that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I don't envision us doing a taste test of this on TMS anytime soon. However, side thing. In June, Sonic is going to be rolling out pickle slushies.
Oh, I'll totally try that.
Yeah, I will too. And I think that'll be a TMS PM. We'll run out, you know, Friday at lunch. Get ourselves a couple pickle slushies and then eat them or enjoy them during TMS.
I hope we enjoy them. I mean, I like a good pickle, but I don't know about a slushy form. That sounds pretty rancid, but we'll try it. We'll give it a shot.
Iced pickles, yum.
We'll give it a shot. I don't mind. You know, well, like we've said on the show quite a bit, we'll try just about anything once. We're no Tom Merritt's. Well, we'll drink the whole Clamato, but we'll, you know, we'll dip.
Yeah, I might not have been able to do the balut like you did, but.
Oh, dude.
But I could do a mealworm burger.
Still gross. Still kind of smell it, even though it's nowhere here. And I'm not really smelling it. I think it's got a memory now.
Psychosomatic or something. Yeah.
Boy, that guy on Twitter blocked me now for eating that thing, for eating the duck.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Some people are really, really hardcore about stuff like that. I think he's probably fine eating chicken. In fact, he even said he was an omnivore. I better make sure he's still got me blocked. And maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. Because maybe he's listening right now. If you're not blocking me, great. I apologize for saying any of this, but whatever. Hey, Brian, a little something in your wheelhouse.
Yeah. I've heard about this, but holy cow.
Pocket Man Go, or Pokemon Go, as the kids say.
They're pocket monsters, Scott. They're not pocket men. Oh, they're pocket monsters.
I thought they were slow men. Pokemen. No?
Pokey, slow Pokemen.
Men who like to poke. Wait a minute. Whole different thing. All right. Men reportedly attacked by strangers, or a stranger, rather, armed with a tire iron over Pokemon Go. Three men were relaxing on a park bench. Sitting on a park bench. Eyeing little... That song's weird. In Vancouver, when they say, what's the name of that song?
It's Aqualung by Jethro Tull.
Aqualung, there you go. Aqualung. Park bench in Vancouver when they saw a stranger pull up in a car and attacked them with a tire iron, apparently upset over a Pokemon Go game. I don't think they know what that Pokemon Go game is, do they? Because the way that's written...
Over a Pokemon Go game.
As if there was a game, like it's all just a match. Right. You know what I mean?
They should just replace the with the over the Pokemon Go game.
Yeah, this writer doesn't know.
Yes.
Andrew Otten and his two friends were hanging out at Vancouver's Burnt Bridge Creek Trail, when a stranger reportedly parked his car and started charging at them. He comes out of nowhere yelling, hey, which one of you is Andy? With a tire iron in his hand. My username is Andy Samberg. I don't know why that's so funny.
Why bother coming up with something creative when you can just, I'll just use the celebrity name.
Why not? That reminds me, actually, Bill Hader was really funny on SNL last night. Did you watch that?
I did watch that. Yeah. He was the funniest part of it. Like just
by far,
his ability to not go through a sketch without at some point almost cracking up, or in other parts, totally cracking up.
Yeah. Like that old man thing he was doing in the wheelchair.
The old man thing with the wheelchair was the best.
Yeah. I was dying.
Just going back and forth in that thing.
He carried the entire episode as far as I'm concerned. Like
he did.
He's he is one of those guys that is, I don't know what to compare him to. He's like the best you make on that show. Like
totally.
The people that come out of there that really, you know, blow everyone's mind forever, he's one of those.
He absolutely is. Yeah, for sure.
And his Al Pacino impression during that Jurassic Park thing.
Yeah.
I forgot how good his Al Pacino is. It is striking.
Oh, it's spot on.
Yeah. It's so weird. Yeah. I feel like he's in the room. Anyway. And he also can't not laugh during the sketches, which is funny. Yeah. As he comes out of nowhere.
He got love, by the way, in that audition thing. Basically saying, well, we want everybody to get a chance, so come up with somebody you can do an impersonation of. And the one new guy is like, well, I can kind of do Eddie Vedder.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was a good Eddie Vedder.
It was a good Eddie Vedder, but it was like, it was the only guy I know how to do. Sorry, yeah, I can do Eddie Vedder.
Yeah, it felt a little last minute tacked on. But.
The gal that does Gwen Stefani nails that one, too.
Oh, my gosh, I was dying. Also, what's her name doing? Clarice. What's wrong with me?
Jodie Foster.
Yeah, the Jodie Foster impression. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that was good. Anyway, I love those. Anyway, this guy comes yelling at him. His name is Andy Samberg on his username. So he was looking for an Andy guy, and I was just reviving my Pokemon when he tried to take it out. When he was trying to take it out.
Exactly. He was trying to take over a gym, or I think Andy was attacking a gym, or maybe he would have to have put his Pokemon in the gym for the guy to be able to see his username.
Mm.
And
So he came over there and said, which one of you is Andy? Right. Okay.
Yes. Like, maybe, I don't know, a little overreaction.
Yeah. Maybe the president needs to have a whole meeting on this part of video games. This is where the violence comes out. He said, did you take this gym from me? That's pretty messed up, man. He said angrily. Grayson Hagstrom, Otten's friend, said he was punched by the stranger several times. I just got behind him and started choking him, Hagstrom said. I figured if he didn't have consciousness, he wouldn't be that tough. I hate everything.
Feel like a Vancouver way of describing why he got in a fight. Well, I figured if he didn't have consciousness, he wouldn't be that tough.
I kind of hate everything about this story.
Yeah.
I hate that the writer doesn't know what a Pokemon game is. I hate that this other guy is so pissed about a part of the game that he comes out with a tire iron for a fight. And I hate that the other guy thinks that the way you win the fight is to choke him out. Because if he doesn't have consciousness, he wouldn't be that tough. I hate
it. They try to use a sleep move. Very effective.
Yeah. Someone says very, very WA. What would that be? Oh, they mean Vancouver or Washington. Yeah, or whatever. Yeah, so maybe, listen, Vancouver, what are you doing up there? It's not all, TV filming and whatever else you do. What else do they do in Vancouver? I don't know.
I don't know what else they do in Vancouver. I know it is, it's the filming capital.
It's the deal capital of
the
thing.
It's the Hollywood of Canada.
Sure. Well, all right. There's that. And that's good times. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's going to be straight to Daryl. No Steven this week. He's got kids home and doing some stuff, so he's not here. However, Daryl actually came with copious notes and lots to say about Star Trek this week for his Star Trek segment, The Trek Nerd. Whoa. So that's all coming up after the song. What song? Well, Brian will tell you.
I will. I'm going to tell you about a band coming to us from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where your part of your family just was, Scott.
Oh, that's cute.
This is a band called Black Belt Theater, and they live and breathe the DIY style of rock and roll from the Midwest. But this is no garage rock. This isn't a basement band, Scott. Mm. These guys have all come from other groups that have gotten national attention. For example, John. One of the members came from the band Alligator Gun and was a powerhouse, punk rock powerhouse that included future members of The Promise Ring, Dashboard Confessional. Tim and Steve comprised one half of a band called Bender, which was a popular Milwaukee act that released an album on TVT in 2000 and toured the country with several major artists. And then Bert was even part of the Milwaukee band The Buzzhorn that released an album on Atlantic. They all stepped away from music for a few years after the demise of their previous bands. But then in 2012, they all joined forces to get back together and release their second album. Their first album was called Hibernation Termination, released in 2014. The brand new album is called Super Bitch. We're going to listen to a song called Sucker for Money.
All right, here it is.
Here is Black Belt Theater.
We'll be right back.
Taking off into overdrive. The pages of American history are illumined by the names of doctors who worked unceasingly to overcome disease and to make life happier and more secure for humanity. The makers of Camels are pardonably proud of the standing of this cigarette among doctors.
Ooh.
The Morning Stream creams your skin while you wash.
Ooh. All right, we're back.
Creams your skin?
Creams your skin while you wash.
I don't think I want my skin creamed.
Yeah, I don't either. Let's see what John thinks. Oh, I didn't play it right. Sorry. Let's see what John thinks.
Ooh.
That's him on There Will Be Dungeons being weird about his role. Hey, everybody.
One more time, that band was Black Belt Theater from their brand new or their newest album, Super Bitch. Came out last August, but that is their newest album. And I think that rocks. Yeah. Totally rocks.
Yeah, it was good. It's very, I don't know what era that is. It's reminiscent
of something.
A lot of
people comparing it to Foo Fighters.
Oh, yeah. That's fair. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like the Foo Fighters, so everyone wins. All right, we're going to call Daryl Skeels.
Uh-huh.
He has many skeels.
I've got a certain set of skeels.
Certain set of skeels. Ooh, look, it's a certain set of skeels right there. And he has a theme, which I'll now play.
Let's test the ship's phasers. No.
Hello, and welcome to Star Trek Adventure.
It's kind of fruity, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Welcome to the show, Daryl. How you doing?
Well, hello.
Hi. Oh, you're in a mood. What's going on? What's going on at work?
Oh, just normal stuff.
Oh, all right. There was a rumor you were maybe getting moved to like a top secrety place where there's like no phone access. Is that still a thing? Is that possible?
Yeah, who knows? I don't know. No, nobody ever knows anything. We'll see.
You got like some, you always feel like there's some secret cabal in a room that's just determining your future every minute of the day, and you really never know what they're going to do with you.
That's probably true.
Yeah. All right. Well, who knows? Maybe one of these days we won't be able to call Daryl. I don't know. We have to wait. And if it goes that way, it's because top secret stuff's going down. That's why. It's not like you know.
There are priorities.
Yeah. There's stuff going on, guys. The very safety, the very future of this world depends on Daryl and how close to a phone he might be. Anyway, Daryl's the Trek nerd, comes on the show. We talk about Star Trek related things, and it turns out this week there's plenty to talk about. So here's my question for you. The Saturn Awards, that's a thing. I've heard of that. It's a science fiction related deal, right? Isn't it lots of categories like movies, books, short stories, like science, the world of science fiction gets recognized across the board.
Well, it's mostly just science fiction, fantasy, horror, TV, and movies.
Oh, TV and movies, so not so much books. That's more the, what's that other one called? There's another one called the Orb. Nope. The Big Deal.
The one that does one, right? One for like novels and stuff?
I don't remember the name of it.
Yeah, the one for novels? It's like the Nova.
Asimov,
like all those guys win it.
Right.
Asimov and freaking Clark.
Hugo Awards.
Hugo's. That's Hugo's.
Yes, the Hugo's, right.
It's nothing like Orb. Anyway. So the Saturn Awards, turns out, Galaxy is a dumb car that Chevy used to make, is the Saturn.
The Saturn.
Hated that thing. But anyway, there's Star Trek Discovery did not get overlooked. In fact, they're up for a bunch of these. So tell us how'd they do.
Yeah, well, they're nominated for all of these. The best new media television series.
New media. That's a fun one to define, isn't it? New media. Yeah. Okay, keep going.
Then I hate pronouncing names. Probably worse than you, but let's try. Sinequa. That's right.
Yeah.
Martin
Sinequa,
Green.
Yeah. Sinequa Martin Green.
I don't know what I was going to say. For best actress on a television series.
Sonequa. I don't know what you were going to say.
That is what I was going to say.
Now, hold on. Is she? Like. Is that Michael Burnham? Who is that? Is that who that is?
Yeah, okay. That's who that is.
Mm-hmm. All right. I like her.
She used to be on Walking Dead.
Yes, she did. She came out and said, hey, where's Negan? I'm dead now. Rah. That's what she did.
Yeah, that's exactly, that was her final line on the show.
You think I'm in here, then I'm fine, but I'm not. I'm dead. Rah.
I got an iPod.
Yeah. That's good. Who else?
Then there's Jason Isaac. See, whatever.
Wow, let's try that's again. The name that that's the name Take that trips two. You up.
Jason Isaacs.
Uh-huh.
For best actor on a television series.
Deserved. I think he was great in that. Thought he was awesome.
Totally
I don't,
deserved.
I don't exactly love his arc yet because I know there's more to be said probably in season two or beyond, but there's some twisty stuff that happens there that I don't love, but he is consistently great throughout that series for sure. Then Doug Jones. Now, here's the one that should be. Actually, I'll let you pronounce Doug Jones. Can you say that one okay?
Doug
Jones. Who liked a tweet I sent out once, which made me very happy. I was just commenting on how awesome he was, and he liked my tweet, and I got more giddy about that than I should have. But anyway.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
Doug Jones for best supporting actor on a television series. He should get this. It's the only way we're ever going to get one of these body double dudes to get some great recognition. So give Doug Jones his due because he's my favorite character by far. Like, by far my favorite character on that show. Loved it. Mm-hmm. Who else?
And lastly, but not leastly, Michelle Yeoh for best guest starring performance on a television series.
Yeah, she's always good. I like her a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, after the twist, I liked her even more because she got to do this double-sided coin thing that was super good. I thought she was really good. And I like her in everything. You know, you got your Crouching Tiger and your Hidden Dragon. She's in that. She was in all kinds of Chinese Hong Kong movies in the 90s that I used to enjoy. So anytime she shows up on film, I get all excited. But I did notice in this production that she's the shortest person on that set. Like, nobody's taller or nobody's shorter than Michelle Yeoh. And I never thought of her as that way. So if I see her in Crouching Tiger, I don't automatically go, oh, what a shorty. Like, she's really short in this movie. And if she stands next to, or the show, she stands next to Doug Jones, you can barely see her. It's like she's not even there. It's crazy. Anyway, how come no love for, what's his
Captain
name?
Rapp?
Captain Rat? Yeah. Or no, the other guy. Was it Captain? His name, he wasn't a captain, was he? What was he?
Captain Lorca.
There's Lorca. Then you got the, I called him Gorka for the longest time. who's the dude, the science dude who's gay? Anthony Rapp. I thought you said Captain Rapp. Never mind.
No, Anthony Rapp.
Yeah. He didn't get
said Captain at the same time that I was saying it.
Yeah, I'm it's a little bummer. I thought he was really good. He's super annoying though. Maybe that's why they didn't pick him, because it's good and he's annoying, but
he's an annoying character.
Yes. He's really good at being annoying as the character. And maybe that was too much for the Saturn people. I don't know.
Or maybe they don't have a third tier for not supporting, but below that.
Super supporting, sub-supporting character.
Most, best actor in an annoying gay character. There. Done. who knows? It could win all those. And if it does, that seems good. Seems like that's some industry respect for a thing. Do they televise those, or how do we get the Saturns? How does that happen to us?
Well, I don't really know. It's probably the Q network or some unknown weird network.
Hmm.
Do we know who they're up against? Like, what are some of the other nominees? Maybe just for the series. Like, what other new media television series are up against?
Yeah.
I mean, does that include stuff like The Handmaid's Tale and
It should.
Altered Carbon and stuff like that?
It should. Because those are in the same category. They're just produced for a streaming media type, right? That's weird. But they have to be science fiction. So actually, both of Brian's examples work, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, Handmaid's Tale is less science and more fiction, but it's still, it's speculative future fiction stuff.
Right.
What are they against? I'm looking it up. What's Trek in? Let's see.
Best new media. It's a long list of. Here we go. Categories: action, thriller, presentation, actor, actress, supporting actor. By the way, best actor that Jason Isaacs is up against people like Andrew Lincoln,
Rick,
Seth MacFarlane for The Orville. That's kind of unusual. Kyle MacLachlan for The Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Ricky Whittle from American Gods. Sam Heughan for Outlander. Bruce Campbell. Chin for Ash versus Evil and John Bernthal. Well, you got Rick versus Shane once again.
Oh my gosh! But it's for Punisher, right?
Punisher.
Yeah. I still need to watch the Punisher. Still haven't seen it. I hear it's great.
We're four or five episodes in, enjoying it. All right, here we go. I've got the list. If you don't have it in front of you, Daryl, I have it here.
Yeah. They have limited access to the internet where Daryl is. It's all top secret.
Here are all the categories for best new media television series. I correctly predicted Altered Carbon, Black Mirror, The Handmaid's Tale. I crested a couple of these. Mm. Mindhunter, Philip K. Dick's Electric Dreams, not to be confused with Philip K. Electric's, never mind, Star Trek Discovery, and Stranger Things.
Okay, one of those doesn't fit. And I loved Mindhunter. Loved it.
Yeah, all the rest of these are science fiction, paranormal, supernatural kind of stuff. Mindhunter is not.
No, it's in fact a near nonfiction retelling of these guys in the 70s. There's nothing paranormal or science fiction about it. That's weird.
Right.
Why the hell is that in there? Okay, whatever.
They also have a category, best new media superhero series, which feels very, very narrowly focused. Here's your nominees: Future Man, Marvel's The Defenders, Marvel's Iron Fist, Marvel's Runaways, Marvel's The Punisher, and The Tick. So apparently, Inhumans was the only thing that did not get a nomination for new media superhero. No, it's not new media. That's on. That was on.
Yeah, that's just straight up TV.
Yeah, terrestrial television.
That's a weird stacked deck, isn't it?
It's a very weird category.
Yeah, it's like when it reminds me of when Pixar is in the running for an animated thing. It's like everyone else just go home.
Like, but the fact that, I mean, Iron Fist is in here. I really enjoyed Iron Fist. I still actually recommend it to people who haven't seen it. But the fact that it's in here means that, yeah, there aren't a lot of things to pick from.
Yeah. It's a dumb category, honestly. It seems weirdly specific. I don't know why they do that. Well, all right then. Good luck to them. All right, now. Also, sets under construction for season two. What does that mean from a production timeline perspective? So if they're just constructing the sets, I mean, we're a ways off, right? We're not going to get this. Well, we already knew we're not getting it until at least 2019, right?
Yeah, I think it might come earlier than that, but we'll see.
I mean, I'd love it if it did.
Make 2018 is what I say.
Yeah, let's make 2018 great again by having more Star Trek in it. I think that'd be great. And then you also found out that Simon Pegg, famed comedian, now actor, producer, and otherwise a nerd, is also Scotty on the Star Trek movie series. He says he knows about the Tarantino Trek idea. And
he won't say what it is, but he knows.
But he knows. Okay, so does that help confirm all this? Like, it seems like it's happening, dude. Like,
yeah. He says, though, that this was something that was brought up several years ago and that it wasn't a rated R thing.
So he doesn't want to go full R. He may go 13 in the PG.
Yeah.
All right.
I was all worried about them trying to jam an R rating into it or putting content in there to make it R, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't either. Like I keep saying, we got to let this happen and see what it means. Like, this is a weird ass thing. It's literally his 10th film, which I thought would be the one that he finally retires on, because he always keeps saying he's going to retire, and then he makes another one, then he's going to retire, and then he makes another one. His 8th movie was Hateful Eight. His 9th is that biopic thing of the Charles Manson stuff.
Oh, right.
Sharon Tate thing. And then this would be his 10th film. That's crazy to think that the 10th film for Quentin Tarantino is a Star Trek movie. And not just a Star Trek movie, but it's got the whole cast from the current Star Trek film run.
It's not an out of lore, or not out of lore, but like out of the current franchise.
Yeah, it's weird.
Boot.
It's really
the current
weird.
Boot.
The current boot, yeah. The boot we're all wearing right now.
That's right.
So what do you think about that now that you know all this and that we're inching closer to the reality that is Tarantino directing a Star Trek movie?
Well, I think he might just be tired of doing the same kind of thing and want to do a different style and likes Trek and wants to make a Trek-like thing.
Mm. Can we now?
He wants to do something different.
Here's what he'll do, though. He's got to stick some reference in this movie so that Tarantino fans see that they're at least being winked at. Here's how I think they do it. You get Ving Rhames as the bad guy, okay? So Ving Rhames is the bad guy. And one of the distinguishing characteristics of the race of aliens that Ving Rhames comes from is they all have a gag ball in their mouth all the time. So that's how you do it.
The crew of the Enterprise has to intervene because the alien world that Ving Rhames is the ruler of, he's all ticked off because someone gave his wife a glorp massage.
Yes. Oh, my gosh, dude. We've got the story. Done. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it because whatever the hell that is interesting to me.
And there will be barfing because there is barfing in every movie.
No, every movie has barfing in it. You're right. Yep. I was watching one the other day. What was I watching? Oh, it's a new series on Amazon, which I'm still not sure about or if I want to recommend yet, but I love the premise. It's called... I forgot the name. Anyway, it's this lady who was taken by a serial killer and everyone thought was dead for 6 years, and then suddenly she shows up again.
Oh, yeah. I saw this on there. What is that? It's...
Incognito.
Something like that. Yeah, like...
Indispensable.
Like her... The artwork for it is like broken. Her face is all kind of broken and stuff, right?
Yeah, or she's underwater. Depends on the image.
Yeah.
But it's like it is not Hero. I don't know what it is. Anyway, it's interesting and it's not so bad so far. I kind of like it. I can't tell though. I feel like it's going down the road of like, what was that? There's another name I can think of. There was that thing that Kevin Bacon did. For a few years there, it was about a serial killer guy.
Yeah, The Following?
Oh, there it is. Absentia is the name of this thing. And yes, The Following. Was it The Following? Yeah, The Following was the Kevin Bacon thing. This feels a little like that. Mm-hmm. But right away, episode one, I'm thinking of Daryl barfing. There was a barf scene. So there you go, Daryl.
Anytime you see barfing,
I think of Daryl.
Triggers Daryl.
I see his face in my mind. That's why I don't think I can throw up again. I don't want to see Daryl. So there you go. That's your catch up for the week, folks. So lots of cool stuff happening in and around Star Trek. What are you guys covering on This Week in Trek right now? Anything we should let people know about?
All of that stuff that you just said. Now we don't have to do a quarter of the show.
I was going to say, it's like your entire show notes right here. That's great. Awesome. No, that's a good show. People should check it out. It's This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. You and Michael Gaines taking it out, brushing it off, and telling people what's up. I don't know what that means. Sounds bad. Daryl, have a fine week, and we'll see you later. Oh, the Trek Nerd on Twitter. Everybody, follow him there. Brian, I have a mashup for you, and I would like to play it.
Please to do so.
All right, I'm gonna. This is a fireside story. It's not really a mashup. Okay. It's a story. Apparently, I don't remember telling this story on the air.
I don't either. So this is a good one. I'm guessing it involves pooping.
It does. It does. Yeah. I think it does. I think this is the Boy Scout camp story that I told, but I don't remember telling it on this show. So for those who missed it and for my refreshing and for yours, here it is.
Once again, pull up a chair as Scott and Brian share a story by the fire. What will they talk about today?
I've talked about Gary Gertzen before,
Buckland, folks.
Yeah, the guy that worked at KFC and put the KFC chicken up his rump.
Oh yeah.
He was at this camp. We were a lot younger, and this other kid named Gary is sleeping in a cabin, like on a bed. And Gary Gertzen thinks it'd be funny if he drops trow, gets up like an inch away from the other Gary's face with his butt, and then somebody snapped a picture of it. Right, and this is before camera phones and stuff, so it was like some crappy film camera. And we had this kid from Vietnam who took the picture, and his laugh was the weirdest thing you'd ever heard. So they've got his butt like an inch away from his face, and this Gary kid's laying like this, going like this, and this butt is 2 inches from his face, and nobody can contain themselves. So the Vietnam kid's just while he's trying to take a picture. Gary's laughing his guts out, literally. I'll tell you that in a second. I'm laughing, everybody's laughing, and we notice that Gary, who's doing the mooning, is beginning to produce a little bit. He's starting to crown, let's put it that way. And he's laughing so hard he can't quite contain himself. So what he does, this is really gross, but he squeezes off a little bean. Just a little bean-sized bit of human excrement. All right. Pops out, lands on the upper lip of sleeping Gary.
Oh, no.
Lands there. He drops it on there, and now we're all horrified. Like, right. Gary's still, but he hasn't seen what he's done. Here's the inevitable thing that happens, the worst thing that happens ever. Gary, sleeping Gary. You know, you're asleep. A fly lands on you, kind of involuntarily kind of slap at it or move your hand up to scratch your head or whatever.
Yes.
moves his hand up and just goes, just rubs that thing all over his face. Just like it's a big itchy spider crawling across his nose.
Oh my God.
And then we all ran because he just smeared he just smeared poo all over himself. And this Gary guy.
How do you wake somebody up from that? Hey, wake up. You got a little something on you. You better go look in the mirror. What happened? What did you do while you were asleep?
So the worst part is I think he woke up because the other Gary was laughing so hard he fell into him and woke him up, and he woke up and goes, yeah, what's going on, man? And he started freaking out and running around camp and throwing rocks. Wow. He was so pissed. Anyway, I hope the Garys are doing fine and are no longer cooking chicken that way. Oh, man. Oh. That's a nasty story, dude.
That was really something.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. I'll never forget that.
I mean, I don't think I asked at the time. When Gary, who's laughing so hard and dropped the bean onto the other Gary's face, when he fell into him, did he fall into him with his pants down?
I think he, like, a cheek bumped him in the forehead or something like that.
Oh, jeez. Insult to injury.
It's the worst scenario ever. Like, it's just awful. Is. And this Gary, the second Gary kid that got pooped on, went home early, and I can't remember why. It was maybe because everybody was picking on him. And I think during that, he edited a lot of this out, but I think during that story, and I would repeat it now, is that everyone felt really bad for this kid because he was one that got picked on too much anyway as it was. And then to have this moment happen was just the worst thing. It's man. The worst thing. So it's bad. Anyway, it wasn't on purpose, though. He wasn't trying to crap on this kid. It just happened.
Wasn't intentional.
No, he didn't. As far as I know, he wasn't. But he was a weird kid. Like I said, he went on to KFC and did some horrible things at KFC. So,
jeez,
there you go. All right, that's it for the show. Hey, thanks for all listening.
Before you get to that,
yeah,
I'm just gonna tell people a new episode of Soundography is going up on the feeds today. So if you're a fan of Soundography, today we're tackling that seminal Canadian band, the Tragically Hip. They do have a "the" in their name. It's not Tragically Hip. It's the Tragically Hip people. But they lost their lead singer, Gord Downie, last year. And it was high time that Hammond and I take a look at their music and discuss them and figure them all out. So we did that. And that show is going up on the feeds very shortly after this show finishes wrapping.
Fantastic. Fantastic? That's not a word.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Soundography.com is where people go?
That's correct. Yes, all soundography.com. Yep.
Do that. For us, go to frogpants.com/TMS. Links to everything there. Our Patreon, where you can support us, our emails, our Twitter accounts, our Reddit page, all of it right there at frogpants.com/TMS. We're now going to leave, but we will not do so until Brian unleashes yet another song into the wild. Brian, what do you have?
Correctamundo. Dear Scotland Yard and Big Ben, on the 19th of March, my wife and I will be crossing the pond for a holiday in the land where cars still have boots and pounds are something you want more of. In celebration, I request something British to listen to on the flight. I'll leave the details to you. Glove the hobo, Alan, from SLC. So he's local to you, flying across to the UK today, he and his wife.
Have fun.
So here's the thing. I've got a lot of covers of songs by British musicians, obviously, and a lot of covers of British songs, but I wanted to pull out the most British thing in my music library, which sadly is not a cover, but I still felt like I had to play this. This is something that I think I heard in like 1979 or 1980 on Dr. Demento. And it was one of the first times I remember, like, in an age before the internet and Shazam and being able to find stuff and find it readily. This was the first thing that I ever heard that made me write down on a piece of paper and look for any time I went to a used record store to see if I could finally track this thing down. It wasn't until 4 or 5 years later that I finally found a copy of the single of this song. And then, you know, now it's available digitally and CD collections and stuff like that. So if you like this, then I urge you to go pick up more of it. This is a song called The Sideboard Song. It's by a couple of British pub rockers named Chaz and Dave. And their other claim to fame is that Chaz and Dave play the little it's the "Hi, my name is Slim Shady" the background music for that.
Okay.
That's their guitar work in the background of a Labi Siffre song that Eminem pulled out to use for his breakthrough single. So anyway,
all right.
That's it. That's the background of Chaz and Dave. You'll find this on their greatest hits collection, which is called "Give It Some Stick." Here are Chaz and Dave and the Sideboard Song.
Mama phoned up last night, she was going spare. She was in a temp, not pulling out her hair. Your sister's fault in a scruffy looking tip. Father, don't give a monkey, and this is what he said.
I don't care, I don't care, I don't care if he comes round here. I've got my beer in a sideboard here. Let mama sort it out if he comes round here. I said to me, mama, let me have a talk to Dad. So he comes to the telephone, it wasn't off air. Says she's got no sense, silly little can. If he comes round here, there's gonna be a row. I don't care, I don't care if he comes round here. I've got my beer in the sideboard here. Let mama sort it out if he comes round here. I'd tell him something else, you know he's never got a job. He hangs around the betting shop, a lazy little yob. Mama says, calm down, Dad, he's all right. But they're out there snogging in the passage all night. I don't care, I don't care, I don't care if he comes round here. I've got my beer in the sideboard here. Let mama sort it out if he comes round here. If he comes round here. I got my beer, let mama sort it out in the sideboard here. Got my beer, let mama sort it out. I don't care if he comes round here. He was a trip with a stubble on his chin. He looks like something that the cat's bought in. Never got no money, smokes all my fags. Got holes in his soles and he's hanging in red. On top of that, he said, I tell you why I got the ump. She had a skinny little belly, now it's sticking out the front. There's nothing since the fitter, she's been running out of clothes. And if he's been taking liberties, I'll punch him on the nose. But I don't care, I don't care, I don't care if he comes round here. I've got my beer in the sideboard here. Let mama sort it out if he comes round here. If he comes round here. I got my beer, let mama sort it out in the sideboard here. I've got my beer, let mama sort it out. I don't care if he comes round here.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Stop kidding, Dick.